Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. Yeah, I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. Here for a special National Signing Day edition. 2018 National Signing Day in the books. I'm, of course, your host, Jason Staples. Talking through what has just transpired on this day of, it's actually the second national signing period. Used to be that all the recruits signed after today, but about three quarters or a little under three quarters of the recruits nationally signed in the early signing period, something that made things very difficult for programs that had coaching changes this year, because a lot fewer players to fight for after the coaching change than usually would be the case. And that made things very difficult for Willie Taggart and company to be able to get together a class that, after Jimbo Fisher had left, with all the decommitments and everything that happened in the wake of all that, Florida State's class had fallen into the 60s nationally in the 24/7 composite rankings. Well, safe to say, Florida State fans should be very, very, very happy with what has happened in the way that Florida State closed this class. You know, there's also very little to complain about in terms of the show sponsors. Some of the best in the business. Show, of course, brought to you by Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville and Resolution Home Loans. Make sure to check the show notes. If you have any real estate business to do in the state of Florida, check the show notes, go through the sponsors of this show, and let them know that you heard about them from the Unconquered Podcast. Let me know that you're using the show sponsors. Definitely helps me out, helps this podcast out a tremendous amount. And might as well tell you a little bit, remind you about what's going on with Lewis. I'll spend a little bit more time a little later in the show telling you about Resolution Home Loans. But Lewis, once again, best realtor you can get, best realtor money can buy on the in the Jacksonville area, greater Jacksonville area. Trained photographer and videographer. If any of you have looked for houses recently, you know that the first place you go is to these various apps, whether it be, you know, Zillow or Trulia or Realtor.com or whatever else is out there. And you want to look through those pictures. Well, you know that if the pictures aren't good, if you don't have the smooth walkthrough video that a professional photographer can give you, you're not going to get attract as many viewers, and you're not going to get the best price possible for your house. Lewis does a better job with that than anybody. He'll make sure that you get the best price possible and sell your house as quickly as possible, all in one fell swoop. So make sure if you have any needs in the real estate area, or if anybody you know has any needs in the real estate area in the greater Jacksonville area, go through Lewis and make sure you let him know that the business is coming from the Unconquered Podcast. And picking back up, I mean, there's just very little to complain about in this class. Taggart and company got Florida State up to, at one point, back into the top 10. Looks like they'll finish around 11th nationally, and that despite having fewer commits than several of the teams above them. For example, Florida State only has 21 commits, 21 signees. Notre Dame, who is right ahead of them at number 10 in the 24/7 composite rankings, has 27 signees. Top-ranked Georgia, 26 signees in their class with unreal 7 5-stars. Come on, guys. I mean, yeah, even one of Florida State's commitments, one of Florida State's early signees actually, tweeted out something about that, about how Georgia can afford to, you know, pay for the best. So, and that's a guy that Georgia recruited, a guy from in-state in Georgia. He would know well exactly what's going on in the Southeast with certain things right now, but I digress. In any case, the main thing for Florida State coming into this cycle, They needed to make sure that they addressed some key issues. They needed to replenish some defensive back depth. They needed to make sure that they landed some edge rushers in particular, some guys that could play the edge, and ideally some versatile defensive linemen. They needed some numbers there as they're going to have some graduations after this next year. They're going to have several guys move on, so they needed to make sure that they kept that cupboard stocked. And then most of all, they needed pass catchers. I think I was the first to report back when Taggart took the job, after he had first looked at what Florida State had on its roster. In you know, he'd gone out to practice and all this. When he'd seen the first couple practices, I'd been told by someone in the Florida State program that one of Taggart's first reflections, one of his first comments about what needed to be done in terms of Florida State's roster. First of all, he was thrilled with most of the roster. Felt like the running back roster is as good as he'd ever seen. But the wide receiver roster, he was going, man, we need to get a lot faster. Florida State just doesn't have the speed, the playmakers out wide that they've had in the past. Not what Florida State had been doing in the past in that regard. That's something that Taggart immediately noted needed improvement. And that was the biggest pressing need of this class, particularly with Auden Tate going pro early. That means that they needed to pick up a receiver or two who could potentially take some reps and offer some contribution early on, which generally speaking with wide receivers, you don't expect impact before the second year. And usually the third year is when you're going to see a guy break through at that position. It's just very different playing high school receiver versus college. But they needed to get some guys that could fill out that depth chart, that could take reps in practice, and that they needed to get a couple guys that were polished enough to be able to come in and play early. They needed numbers and they needed speed at that wide receiver position. And man, did they meet that need with a vengeance. That's the first thing I'm going to talk about on this. Man, I tell you what, Dave Kelly, I tweeted it out earlier this week when I'd been told that Florida State was almost certainly going to get both Treshawn Harrison, their top target at the position since Taggart took the job from Seattle, Washington, getting him all the way across the country, almost as far as you can go in the continental United States, all the way across the country, getting him. So they were going to land him and flip Jordan Young from Tennessee, who discovered him late in the process up in Georgia. And again, if you have not seen Jordan Young's highlight tape on Huddle, take 15 minutes and just sit there and pick your jaw up off the floor repeatedly. There is no, I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it is unreal what that kid is doing. And that is good Georgia competition. That's upper division Georgia competition that he's just mossing repeatedly. In any case, they went out there and I tweeted, Dave Kelly is that man. Dave Kelly is he's that dude, guys. In terms of being able to attract talent and all that, Dave Kelly is and I said this when he was first hired, Dave Kelly is a really, really good recruiter. He's a very good wide receiver coach, but that guy is a monster recruiter. And here's the thing, you know, I've coached wide receivers. I've coached quarterbacks. One thing I'll tell you right away, there are certain positions where, you know, a lot of it really does boil down to you have to have great technique. But this is true for almost every position, but some positions it's even more true than others. If you want to be a great wide receiver coach, if you want to look like a genius, the best way to start is to start with really, really great talent. If you start with Randy Moss and Peter Warwick and Ron Dugans and a group that looks like that, you're going to look like a genius of a wide receivers coach, even if, you know, you're kind of average as a coach. But even if you're a really, really good coach, you're going to look kind of average as a coach if you're trotting out, say, Bobo Wilson and, a few of those guys. Now, that's not to say that those guys didn't have any talent, but it's a whole different ballgame when you're coaching Amari Cooper or Sammy Watkins. Those guys make you look good as a coach. You look really smart. I had a kid this year that played for me in North Carolina. He ended up somewhere around like fourth or fifth in the state in receiving yards. And that despite missing pretty much our last two games of the shoulder injury. He was number one in the state in receiving yards for a while. And I'd love to take credit for how great a coach I was in teaching him everything. But at a certain point, we would just look at each other on the sidelines as coaches and be like, well, yep, and that just made us look real smart because we just got the ball in the guy's hands and he did something with it that you can't teach. Well, that's the thing that Dave Kelly was just able to go and do in recruiting the talent that Florida State just got at the wide receiver position. David Kelly is that dude, guys. He went out and got, this is the best wide receiver class Florida State has brought in at least 15 years. At least. Now, speaking of 15 years, there's some people, there's some folks who sponsor this show who've got well over 15 years of top-level experience in terms of mortgage origination. And if you're going to do any real estate purchases in the state of Florida, make sure you go through Resolution Home Loans. Talk to Chad, talk to Shannon, diehard Knowles, podcast listeners. And listen, these guys, hardworking, disciplined, the kind of people you want to work with, and most of all, they will make sure that your mortgage loan is originated with Seminole speed. Their almost home program is what sets them apart. They'll guarantee that you'll close within 15 days or the contract closing date, or they'll give you $500 off your closing costs. Listen, that is elite closing speed. That's what you'd expect from true Seminoles. These are the kind of guys that Willie Taggart would recruit at the wide receiver defensive back position. That kind of speed is what he wants. And once again, as I was saying, this Florida State recruiting class in 2018, I think is the best overall class at that position. And not just because of numbers. I'm talking about if you just took the top three guys, even if you left out even if you didn't have DeMarcus Adams and Keyshawn Helton in this class, if you just looked at the top three guys, this would still, in my opinion, be the best class at that position in 15 years, at least. And I say that, I don't really, there are going to be some people who are going to point out that, oh yeah, you know, what about this class that had a higher average rating for receivers or whatever in the services? I couldn't care less about what the services think about different receivers. I mean, I've said this from the start on certain receivers were ranked too high, certain receivers are ranked too low, and I don't care who they went to or whatever. I'm ranking the receivers how I rank them. And that I've done this for years now. I've got a spreadsheet that I keep updated year by year in terms of where I see these guys' potential and how I rate them coming in. And the best class that Jimbo Fisher ever signed at wide receiver is the 2015 class. That's what I've got down. And I talked about this last year as well on the podcast. I have different categories that I put players into in terms of boxes. You have different categories. You have a specialty category where I put special teamers or whatever. But then I have, working my way up, you've got a player that's marked out as depth. This is a player I don't really ever expect to be a starter. Projects as a career backup, special teams player, etc. FSU doesn't sign a ton of those, but, you know, give you examples. Back in 2015, Florida State signed three guys that in 2015, I marked out as most likely career backups. DeAndre Johnson at quarterback, Calvin Bruton, and David Robbins. I didn't think any of those guys was likely to ever start at Florida State. Then you've got the starter category. These are guys that project as a depth player through most of their career. They'll grow into a starter at some point, maybe later in the career. Maybe have a ceiling of a free agent, or, you know, maybe later rounds draft, you know, later rounds in the draft if they turn out well late in their career. 2015 class, I had Jalen Wilkerson and Ethan Frith in that category. Guys that could be starters down the line, but probably depth through most of their career. Maybe late as a senior or something, they'll end up as a starter. And a chance at, you know, if they develop, maybe they make a roster, get a chance at the NFL. Okay. Then you've got an outstanding starter category. For me, this projects as someone who's going to be a multi-year starter, a foundational player. This is where most of your players are going to tend to fall in most classes. These guys are multi-year starters. They're going to have a chance at being an all-conference player and an NFL draft pick. Pretty good chance at that. That's where their ceiling most likely lies. Then I have potential difference makers. And these are your matchup problems. They project as an all-conference player, likely high to mid draft pick, you know, high to mid round draft pick, maybe an All-American. But this is a player that's going to need a year or two to develop because maybe they're coming in raw or something like that, right? So that's that category. And then you have impact player. This is all of the things about the potential difference maker, matchup problem, everything, but is the rare prospect who projects as a first-year contributor and or future All-American or high draft pick. So this is your kind of can't-miss guy. So you look back at the 2015 class, I had in the outstanding starter, you know, somebody who projects as a multi-year starter, foundational player, but, you know, would have a chance at becoming something pretty good. I had, in that category, I had Nyquan Murray, Devontae Phillips, Shamar Kilby-Lane, and A.J. Westbrook. That's where I had that. And I think I ended up overrating Westbrook there a little bit. Devontae Phillips, I think I got right. Nyquan Murray, I think I got basically right. Maybe Phillips should have been one notch lower in the starter category. I don't know. It depends, because he ended up getting hurt. But I was not all that big on Phillips, even though he's a four-star. I had him in my third category. Then in my potential difference maker category in 2015, I had George Campbell, who was way too raw to put in the impact player bucket. It's like, he's going to need a year, probably two, to become the player that he should be. But he's got a chance to be a difference maker once he gets there. Matchup problem, if he's able to stay healthy, stay on the field, develop and all that, he could be really good. Well, he hasn't done any of that. But again, I still stand by it. If he's able to stay healthy, he's a difference maker if he's on the field. Anyway, George Campbell, Abdul Bello, Cole Minshew, Auden Tate, Darvin Taylor, and Marcus Lewis. That was what I had in that category. All right? Now, you'll notice that 2015 class, that's the best wide receiver class Florida State's signed. They signed under Jimbo Fisher, for sure. At least on paper, coming in. You can go back and say, well, you know, the 2011 class had Kelvin Benjamin and Rashad Green in it, both of whom are playing in the NFL. That's better. Yeah, you might be right, but that's hindsight. I had both Kelvin Benjamin and Rashad Green listed as potential difference makers, not impact players as well. And that was all they signed in that. Whereas you had in the 2015 class, two guys that I marked out as potential difference makers, George Campbell and Auden Tate, and two guys as potentially outstanding starters, Nyquan Murray and Devontae Phillips. Really good class. But the 2018 class is that much better. I mean, you look at that 2015 class, the best player, the best wide receiver prospect in that class was probably George Campbell. I would take both Treshawn Harrison and Jordan Young over George Campbell. And this is looking at it from when they first signed in 2015, knowing what his limitations were going to be in terms of hand limitations and lack of polish for George Campbell, and what I see from Harrison and Young. I would have taken both of those guys over the best guy in the 2015 class. And then you can make an argument about Auden Tate coming out versus Warren Thompson. Thompson is actually a little more highly thought of. I liked Tate more than a lot of people coming in. So, but there's at least an argument to be made that those guys are at least in a similar tier. And that's without even getting to Cameron McDonald, who, yeah, he's listed as a tight end, but he's a little bit more of a slash player, a little bit more of a hybrid. They're gonna split him out and all that. And there's a lot of Auden Tate in Cameron McDonald and how he plays. So that's three wide receivers and a tight end hybrid that I've got in a potential difference maker or above category. I'm still determining. I still haven't gotten my final evaluations on all this. I'll do my final evaluation looking at tape and all this in maybe a few days and put up another podcast looking at how I'm putting all these guys in the various categories and all that. Whether, you know, that puts Young and Harrison into the potential impact player bucket. Young and Harrison are both potential impact players. I'm not sure whether or not they fall quite into that category, but both of those guys are right on that border of being an impact player versus a potential difference maker. So, there wasn't anything close in 2015. Campbell and Tate, neither one of those guys were guys I expected to contribute as freshmen. They're just too raw. Young and Harrison, they got a chance. Even Thompson has a chance to contribute as a freshman, because this class has, instead of just getting big bodies that you're going to have to coach into being wide receivers, these guys are less raw. They're more polished than anybody, than the receivers Florida State's been bringing in of late at that position. At that position, you know, people have criticized Lawrence Dossey as a bad coach. Lawrence Dossey's not a bad wide receivers coach. I'm going to go to my grave saying that. Not a bad wide receivers coach. He's a good wide receivers coach. Not a great one, but a good one. But he had a difficult job on his hands because of the way that Florida State had recruited that position. They managed to land a lot of, and target, they targeted and landed a lot of very raw athletes that needed to really be coached and refined at that position before they could ever contribute. And listen, it's hard to make the transition from high school wide receiver, where you can just get open because you're a better athlete than everybody else across from you, versus college, where you actually have to learn how to set a guy up, how to run a route, how to stem this, how to make this route adjustment and all that. And that's true in every offense. That's true in Taggart's offense as well. You have to learn to do that stuff. You have to be able to create space at wide receiver. And that's something that is not, with very few exceptions. You can throw Randy Moss out there and he could do it as an athlete against anybody, but or just about anybody. But there aren't many of those guys out there. You know, as a wide receiver, you're having to learn how to do that against guys that are comparable athletes to you once you get to college. That's a different thing. So then you have to get guys that are a little bit more polished if they're going to play earlier. That's what separates your Amari Coopers, your Sammy Watkins, those guys. Those guys were able to come in. First of all, it helps to be an early enrollee. But those guys were able to come in and contribute early because they figured stuff out early. Go back and listen to Dabo Swinney about what made Sammy Watkins special. And he talks about how Sammy, you know, Martavis Bryant is maybe as talented as Sammy, but Sammy could figure out what it was to be a wide receiver a lot quicker. He understood that. He came in more polished. Well, Florida State in this class landed three guys that are more ready to play early on than they've landed in a long, long time. Years. Young, Harrison, and Thompson are all guys that can come in and potentially make some sort of contribution, even as freshmen. Now, big contributions, probably not. But some contribution, maybe. And that's not even factoring in the other two. DeMarcus Adams and Keyshawn Helton, each of whom brings really, really impressive speed. And that's the other thing. Florida State didn't just add bodies here. They needed bodies. They needed bodies because they were so thin. But they added, they got a massive speed infusion at this position, at the wide receiver position. And they're going to need that. In the way that Taggart likes to run his offense, he's going to try to spread things out and create vertical plays with his wide receivers. There's a lot, that's one of the differences between what Taggart runs and what Fisher ran. Fisher ran more stuff in the intermediate parts of the field, a little bit more passing as you know, possession type passing. Now, there were big plays built in, but there's a little bit less possession passing in Taggart's offense. You're going to see a lot more screenplay type stuff. Take the various screens, you know, now screens, bubbles, smoke screens, tunnel screens, that sort of thing. Various wide receiver screens will take the place of a lot of the intermediate passing stuff. Although they'll do more of that at Florida State, where they've got the quarterbacks to do it, than he's done at previous spots. But there's more vertical stuff that he's trying to push downfield by percentage of how much of the passing game he does that than what Fisher had typically done. So that means you'd better be able to have those guys that can stretch the field. And ideally guys that are big. Ideally guys that can go up and get the football. And Florida State got those guys. So they got a massive speed infusion. This wide receiver group, every one of these guys can outside of Warren Thompson, who can run. Thompson's, you know, he runs well for a guy that's 6'3 with about a 6'6", 6'7" wingspan. With Thompson, you're getting sort of a little bit smaller Kelvin Benjamin type. That's what you're hoping for. Or, an Auden Tate type. That's what you're hoping for with Thompson. But in all four of the other guys that you signed, you're getting guys that are absolute burners, that are potentially faster than anybody else on the roster outside of George Campbell at that position. And that's a healthy George Campbell, obviously. But Adams, Helton, Young, and Harrison are all faster than Nyquan Murray. They're all faster than Nooney. And they're all in the same kind of speed class that you're looking at with George Campbell. Treshawn Harrison, and that's the thing. A lot of people look at Treshawn Harrison's tape. The kid looks like he's doing Percy Harvin stuff to people out there. Yes, lower level of play out in Seattle, but it's not against JV kids. These are against decent players. Treshawn Harrison is you're talking about a kid that is up to 0 to 60. He's up to that in a blink, and then has elite top end speed. And you look at that tape and you think, wow, you know, that kid's pretty good. You know, if only he was a little bigger, because, you know, he's probably what, 5'11"? No, he's 6'2". He's 6'2". He's got legit size, and he's got pretty long arms for that 6'2". I would say Harrison's probably the best overall prospect they've signed in, I don't know, a long time. I mean, I've already been getting asked, you know, who would you compare Treshawn Harrison too? And I have a without hesitation answer to that, and that's Percy Harvin. I don't think he's maybe quite as fast as Percy Harvin. I mean, Harvin was generational in that regard, but he's not that far. I mean, you're looking at that kind of player, that kind of acceleration with a bigger body. I mean, Percy was 6'1". That was one of the things that made him special, is he ran like that despite being bigger than most receivers who could run like that. That's what you're getting with Treshawn Harrison, is that kind of player. So you're looking at a Percy Harvin type right there. But then the question is, and I've been debating this with some people, I've even debated a little bit with people in Florida State's program, is he a better prospect than Jordan Young? Listen, if Jordan Young had been discovered earlier in the process, this guy would probably be a top 10 wide receiver in the country, if not higher. Again, go back and look at his huddle performance, at his huddle highlights, and it's just filthy. You don't see 6'3" guys run like that very often. And then the difference between him and, say, George Campbell, who was a 6'3" guy who ran kind of like that, maybe not as smooth. He's smoother than George. But Jordan Young's doing that while snatching the ball out of the air with his hands. Catches it just so naturally. One of those guys that just has no issues catching with his hands. And then going up and just mossing guys, just easily going up and showing elite ball skills above his head. Well, okay. Check, check, check. Other thing, though, that is worth noting is one thing that in talking to people inside the Florida State program about this, they're really excited about getting Treshawn Harrison, in part because his floor is so high, too, because he's such a high character kid. One of the things that was mentioned to me about Harrison is he has every intangible you could ask for. He's going to come in, he's a true pro, and he's going to work his tail off, and he's going to be able to get out there early because of the intangibles. So you're looking at a guy that has elite top end speed, great acceleration, and is 6'2". Oh, and he also has the full package in terms of character and everything else. So that may tip him a little bit above, but I don't know how Young fits on that spectrum. I mean, I'm not going to say anything negative about his intangibles. I don't know anything about him. I just know I heard some great things about Harrison. If Young has intangibles anywhere along those lines, and they're getting two guys that are like that. What that means is that, you know, and based on my evaluation, either one of those guys would have a case to be the best wide receiver that Florida State has signed going back at least through the Jimbo era. I think the only guy that I would put in the same class as those guys coming out would probably be Keith Gavin. But Keith Gavin, I discussed as his ceiling was maybe best in the country coming out, but he was, again, a guy that was super raw and was going to take at least a year, if not two, to get there. Whereas, again, I think both Young and Harrison are more polished than Gavin was by a lot. Now, in terms of ceiling, Gavin in the same ballpark, but not as fast as either guy. I mean, Young is a top level 110 hurdle guy in high school. Harrison, again, is a burner. So you might give each of those guys, maybe a slight nod even over Keith Gavin. So I think you could make the case that Willie Taggart and company, David Kelly and company just signed the two best wide receiver prospects in the same class, but the two best wide receiver prospects that Florida State signed in a decade and signed them both in the same class. Oh, and then Warren Thompson, who many people think is the best wide receiver prospect in the state of Florida. So, oh, and then DeMarcus Adams, who played in the U.S. Army All-American game. And then Keyshawn Helton, who is sort of he's that jitterbug, super quick, plays bigger than his size, slot receiver, who, again, he's the guy that you don't want to go to a Syracuse or something because he's going to go for 150 even against your elite secondary. Well, you get that guy on your team and maybe he does that against somebody else. So just a tremendous amount to be excited about in terms of the wide receiver position. Now, yes, the one disappointment of the day is that Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M did manage to pull James Foster. I think I might've been the only I don't know what other people said on their podcast or anything, but in terms of what I saw from Florida State media, in terms of who had crystal balls and where, or whatever, and the degree of confidence that I saw on Twitter about Foster coming to Florida State, I might have been the only one covering Florida State that was saying, you know, he's not a done deal. I've heard that there was still a lot of work left from the Foster side. I kept hearing a lot of confidence from the Florida State side, but I'd heard some other things from the Foster side that, you know, maybe he would wind up somewhere else. So that's not maybe as surprising to me as it might have been to others. But again, that's the one disappointment. Didn't land a quarterback in the class, but they've already got three quarterbacks on the roster who can all play. And three guys who've been in the program. This is not a disastrous thing because they were not going to be starting James Foster in 2018. And he wasn't going to be a starter in 2019 either. And probably not even in 2020. So that gives you a little bit of wiggle room there. That does mean that they need to sign an elite guy and probably a second guy in the 2019 class. But there's some options there. But, you know, they've got three guys, again, a redshirt junior now, a sophomore, and then a redshirt freshman. There's some space there that they can work with on that end. Beyond that, they also pulled Jamarcus Chapman, a guy that I have marked down as a big end slash potential three technique, particularly in the as a pass rusher on long yardage downs as where he projects. They pulled him away from Miami. I actually didn't expect him to be in the class. I think that was a very pleasant surprise, and a guy that, again, fits a real need, somebody that I really like his explosiveness, and he's a guy that could stay outside as a big end, could be a bit of a hybrid, could do a lot of things. I think that does slide Dennis Briggs as most likely going to wind up as a three technique somewhere in there. They landed Malcolm Lamar, as expected, from Armwood, a guy that just projects as a fantastic three technique in their defense, and again, a guy that can play inside or as the big end in an odd technique situation. They also managed to swing another one that I didn't expect. I did not think that they would pull Anthony Grant, the running back slash linebacker slash safety, the athlete from Buford, Georgia. Kid was not deterred by the depth chart at running back and came in. And you're talking about a guy that he's probably going to contribute immediately on special teams one way or another anyway. And he's a football player. He plays physical. He plays fast. Runs about a 4.4. So he's gonna be able to find his way on the field somewhere. So it's a pretty dang good recruiting class, and about as good a close as you could ask for from Florida State staff. But just a tremendous amount to be excited about in terms of meeting need. Being able to load up on the defensive line. Being able to. To make sure that they established quality depth, they got what they needed, they met their needs in terms of establishing some guys that will be able to develop as offensive linemen, made sure they handled things in the early signing period in terms of the defensive back position, and then just absolutely hit a home run with the wide receiver position. And again, these guys aren't rated as high as they should be. Jordan Young is ranked. They just put him on the board somewhere, you know, in the middle, because they hadn't had a chance to really rank him before that. But this is a guy that would be up there with the very best in the country otherwise. I mean, listen, when DeMarcus Adams is the fourth or fifth best wide receiver in your class, you did something. I mean, just think about this. In the last two cycles, they'd brought in Keith Gavin, DJ Matthews, and Tamorian Terry at wide receiver. And that's it. They just more than doubled what they'd brought in terms of quality bodies in one class. Now, before I finish, one other thing that I did mention on my Twitter feed that I would do when I discussed a little bit of the close with the wide receiver position is what Florida State chose to do in terms of who they targeted in this particular class. And this is something I had a chance to hear a little bit, to get a little bit of insight from in the program in terms of how they were thinking about this fairly early on. And I'd been asked, some people had asked, you know, well, what about a guy like Marquez Ezard, who I believe wound up at Miami? Like, why haven't they, you know, been going harder after him? You know, he's a really good receiver from Georgia, you know, got a former commit. You know, why didn't they go after Marquez Ezard? Why didn't they go after a guy like Jacob Copeland? Why didn't they go after him harder? Why didn't they go to some of those things? So, well, one of the things that I learned early on in terms of how they were going about this class is And this tells you a little bit about how this staff is going to be in terms of organization, in terms of how they're thinking. And thinking, playing chess instead of checkers. They could have gone and they could have gotten Marquez Ezard's commitment pretty quickly after taking over the Florida State position. He had just visited Oregon. They'd recruited him some at Oregon. They had that relationship. But ultimately, they decided, we're probably going to get Warren Thompson. We have a chance to get another big-bodied receiver as well, depending on who that is, that we've got a little higher on the board. But the main lack that Florida State has at wide receiver is difference-making speed. Well, the one thing that Marquez Ezard doesn't really have, I mean, he's a really good player. He's a good prospect. But he just doesn't bring the speed to separate. He doesn't bring, you know, he's probably a 4.7 guy, 4.65 guy, right? It's a big body, but, you know, if you've already got Warren Thompson, who's a better big body, then what does Ezard bring you that you don't already get with Thompson? Don't you want somebody else who can play another role? Ideally, you get yourself maybe more of a speed merchant that can provide you a little bit of a different aspect, play a different role in your offense rather than just stacking another guy that's maybe not quite as good as the other big-bodied receiver you're bringing in. So instead of going toward Ezard, they started looking for a super quick, you know, guys that could stretch the field with their speed. That's why, by the way, they kept DeMarcus Adams. Adams has difference-making speed, even though, you know, he's more of a raw player. It's going to take him some time. The guy ran a 4.37 or whatever it was at the Florida State camp. I mean, he's got wheels now. That's why you keep Adams. You don't go after Ezard because, you know, we look at our roster. We've got some big bodies. We're going to get a big body in Warren Thompson. We could add another big body, but what we really need is speed. So we're going to make sure that our primary target's going to be Treshawn Harrison because he's got the full package and he's got that elite speed. They went after Antoine Green, who, again, was a faster prospect, guy that could stretch the field. Turned out that they weren't going to get Green. And then, and maybe the most impressive thing about this is in not getting Green, who they loved, they went out and they improved on that by picking up Jordan Young, another guy that's 6'2 plus with top-end speed to boot. And then you add Keyshawn Helton instead of, again, a Marquez Ezard. Why? Because Helton brings, yeah, he's a small guy, but if you watch his tape, he actually goes up and mosses some guys even at 5'9". So, I mean, he can snatch with his hands. He's a tough player, can play some vertical stuff. He won't do much of it in college, but he shows you what you need to see to be able to offer him at that position. You get somebody who brings something else to the table that's valuable, that you can add to the recipe so that the overall chemistry of the dish is better. You know, you can't just cook pancakes with flour. You got to have the eggs. You got to have some sugar. You got to have some other ingredients in there in order for it to work. So instead of getting one more big body, even though he's a good one, you go out and you get a burner. You get a vertical receiver. You get somebody who fits as that jitterbug slot and can work as a returner. What they did is they went out and they found the best combination of traits that they could find. And they did that by getting two guys that are 6'2" plus burners in Treshawn Harrison and Jordan Young. Young more, a little bit more of a vertical receiver, a little bit more of a traditional receiver prospect in that regard. Harrison kind of more of a Percy Harvin at that size. It's pretty good. Then you got your big body in Warren Thompson. Then you've got your 6'1" sort of hybrid inside-outside burner in DeMarcus Adams, and then you get a jitterbug slot in Keyshawn Helton. Each one of those guys brings something a little different to the table, and they all, outside of Warren Thompson, who is your one big body, they all are burners, which is the one thing that you didn't have on your current roster. So you got to make sure you upgrade that speed. They did it. Again, playing chess, not checkers. So much to be excited for if you're a Florida State fan. This is about as good of a class, given the numbers that they had, given the amount of time that they had. This is about as good a class as you could expect, as good a class as you could hope for, and should provide a very good transition into a full class, full numbers next year, that they're able to put their full attention to as in the 2019 class. So just imagine what they're going to do with a full year after what they just did in about 6 weeks. And I'm telling you, those guys are going to need some sleep. Taggart said in his press conference today, he's taking a 4-day vacation with his wife. And I got to say, it's well-deserved. All those guys deserve to go ahead and take some R&R for the next few days before getting into the re-advent of mat drills, which I'll be talking about here on an episode soon to come. But that's going to do it for us here today. Once again, the Unconquered Podcast is brought to you by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville and Resolution Home Loans, the best mortgage origination in the state of Florida. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.